Okay. Okay, I think we are at live finally for FPL Gaming 30 and our preview from the FPL script. I'm your co-host Fran, or FPL underscore underscore Fran, with my co-host here at Schadenfreudist with a one. Today we'll just be discussing Gaming 30. As we said, we reviewed Gaming 29 in our previous episode, and we discussed a lot of sort of scene review type elements there. So if you're interested in that sort of discussion, feel free to sort of step back one episode, have a look at season two, episode 31. This is obviously 32, and we're just purely discussing the short term as well as the sort of medium to long term in terms of expected minutes. Just because, of course, I think this week is an interesting week for most managers, where regardless of whether you're wild carding or let's say planning for the short to medium term. So there are some managers obviously who are gearing towards, let's say, a wildcard 35 type of path. Some managers have, of course, recently wildcarded, and maybe don't have a free hit, or maybe still have a free hit remaining. So ultimately, I think the landscape is quite interesting in that a lot of the defenders still have some ex-mins uncertainties that are worth discussing. And then, of course, we've got Darwin and Kunha, who are your sort of short-term forward picks, who a lot of people want to discuss. So I think the first option would be to discuss defenders first of all, and I think the sort of defenders of choice in terms of dicey ex-mins, so to speak, are Bradley and Gusto. So do you want to just quickly jump onto that? These are defenders who are, I think, pivotal to a lot of people who are trying to build towards a larger bench boost, because at least in the short term you have a defender who allows you to build what should be a good Gaming 34 team, or particularly with Gusto, of course, someone who can actually be very useful long term in Gaming 37, whereas Bradley I see more as a short term pick and someone that you might have to transfer out sooner than later.
Yeah. Hi everyone. So as Fran already pointed out, the game week review for game week 29 and everything can be found in our previous episode. So for Bradley, I just wanted to confirm one thing. I saw another update about Trent. Can you recall what that update
Yeah,
was?
so the update is that apparently Trent is looking to come back for the Atalanta game, which means actually the next three Premier League fixtures will be, in theory, games that he would miss if you're going to follow that timeline.
Okay, so if you look at that, I would go for. So right now I have Bradley's minutes while solving at something around 78, 75, 73. They could, in theory, be higher because if we are sure that he is unlikely to come back, or Trent is, that is unlikely to come back before the Atalanta game, then the only real alternative you're looking at is something like Gomez playing right back and then Tsimikas playing left back, which hasn't happened an awful lot this season. So I don't know if that's likely, given that Bradley has been playing well. So similar to Gusto, but for short term, obviously. Whereas with Gusto, I just think that he's been probably their best defender this season, and for his minutes, I would just go for something around the range of, let's say, 84, 82, 81. And then a very slow decay, I would say. There will be some decay because the number of Chelsea options that you expect to come back should technically influence some of his X minutes, but that should not influence the decision of whether you want to buy him this week. Because I just think if you want a Chelsea defender for all the way up till 37, I think he's one of the best options. The Rizazi, and he's quite a lot more expensive, right, compared to Gusto, which we discussed last week.
Yeah, I think Disasi might be 4.6 or something
It's
like that.
4.6. Okay.
I might be wrong
Which
on
is
that.
Yeah.
But to be honest, they don't obviously have a lot of centre back depth as well. So
Yeah.
it's a fair point that obviously Disasi is a good point of comparison. What I will say though, to play devil's advocate, is I do think Bradley's minutes have been a bit subpar recently. I remember, for example, in the City game, he was subbed off at 59 minutes.
Yeah.
And then obviously, I think, was it the Luton game as well that he played 67 minutes? So you could argue, let's say, even if Trent's out, that maybe Bradley will play more than 60 minutes, which I think is fair. But then you probably can't push too far in terms of the minutes because Joe Gomez has been playing well this season. And it seems like Robertson is fine. So the news on him is that I think it's only going to be a few days in terms of how that knock impacts him. So you could very well see Robinson come back in the Sheffield United game, which obviously you'd like it less, right? If you're investing into Bradley and you think Robertson is going to have some sort of knock-on impacts in terms of Bradley minutes, in the sense that Joe Gomez is maybe more likely to maybe potentially sub off for Bradley in that Sheffield United fixture, then there is a case for that as well.
Yeah, fair enough. I just looked into the Aziz price, so it's 4.9.
Oh, 4.9. Yeah, that's even worse. Okay. That's actually a
That
huge gulf, to be honest. Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
0.7 million is quite a significant amount. So I just think Gusto is probably one of those decisions where it's very unlikely to backfire compared to
Yeah,
someone
I
like
agree with
Ryan.
that. Yeah, because Gusto feels like a pick that it could pay even more dividends as a and it has a pretty good baseline. Whereas Bradley, I think, is a bit of both. Like the base can be low because you can expect Bradley to get subbed off at 59. I don't think it's crazy,
Yeah.
because you're playing a lot of fixtures in the short term in Liverpool. He's a young kid and club's aware of that. And I think this season you've seen a little bit more rotation, at least at the back, mostly because, of course, Joe Gomez has shown that he's been very competent whenever he's come on the season. So that, and also Tsimikas getting a bit more minutes, even whilst Robertson's coming back, is a small threat, I would say. What's nice about Bradley, though, in contrast to Gusto, I think, is that a lot of people do have a really bad defense on Gaming 31 as well as Gaming 30. Now, obviously, a lot of us do have double Arsenal defense, so that's very good for Gaming 31. But maybe, actually, let's say, unless you have Zabanyi, I guess you'd probably also struggle to have a pretty competent defense in Gaming 31. And then obviously in Gaming 30, same issue there, which is why obviously we're looking at defender transfers. I myself am probably in a bit of a worse state than most managers, if I'm being honest, because I've got Senesi, who unfortunately now probably won't feature versus Everton, Crystal Palace, and Luton, which are basically three fixtures that I would have considered playing him in. And I've got Doughty, who's the fit one out of the two, and he's pretty useless in the short term.
Did
So
you say Luton? I don't think that's possible.
does he not
Because
play?
I thought both their fixtures were done with Luton, or was I looking at
Maybe
something
I'm
else?
wrong. No, they do play Luton. Yeah, they do play
Oh, sorry,
Luton.
my bad,
No,
my
that's all
bad.
right.
Okay, yeah.
That's okay. But yeah, so that's sort of the landscape, right? And that's something to sort of think about for me, because I feel like I have to go a little bit deeper into defenders. But at the same time, as someone who's navigating without a sort of chip on 34, it makes more sense for me to invest into defenders that have that sort of bench boost 37 impact, even if there's a small chance of it. Let's say Gusto, as I said, is a good example of someone who could pay off quite well for me if he, let's say, manages to stay fit, and Reece James, still sort of is trailing with his recovery. And another thing too is, like, not even just for bench boost 37, but even for the doubles in the short term for, let's say, 35, 36 for Chelsea. If I can get something out of Gusto there, the better. And I think one thing to mention about Gusto too is that he kind of has, I think, he's a slight availability tax on review, due to the sort of illness. And then also, you can see that he has very aggressive decay, which I think is unfair considering how long, in my opinion, it would take Reece James to come back to full fitness and to really take away serious minutes from Gusto. So I think he's been a bit unfairly decayed. So I think if you're someone who's adjusting your minutes, do have a look into that. Whereas with Conor Bradley, you've got a similar rate to decay, but I think it's totally fair because we do expect Trent to come back, particularly before Gaming 34. So
Yeah,
that's the key
and
impact.
the point you mentioned about his minute ceiling is very important.
Yeah.
And I think that's why subconsciously I probably had 80 minutes as sort of like the upper bound
Which I
where
think is fair. Yeah, very good.
I was thinking where, okay, I can't allow his minutes to cross the 80 minute threshold,
Fair.
which makes sense now that we've discussed how we've arrived at that sort of those sort of numbers. So I was also looking at maybe some other players that are popular, let's say someone like Isaac, right? And a lot of people are looking at buying Isaac this week in preparation for, let's say, Newcastle's fixtures and also the Dublin
37.
37,
Yeah.
which is I hesitate to even mention that because
So
it's
far
so
away.
far away
Yeah.
right now. And with Isaac's injury record not being the best, I wonder if that's the optimal strategy, but I guess a
Do
lot of
we
people
know when
don't have a
Wilson
choice.
comes back?
Yeah, see, I checked this before we started streaming, and it was a very vague update
Yeah.
from anyhow. So I don't even know if he's going to come back by the end of this season. And
Yeah.
you know what? Even if Eddie Howe had given us a date or a line in the sand, we can't take it as gospel anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know how aggressively are you decaying his minutes, because I suspect should be one of the candidates in the forward positions for you, right?
Less so because obviously I have to sort of navigate Gaming 34 first, so he's not really an option for me because I feel like Isaac is in that Darwin camp, for me, like in terms of that sort of price. So for me, Darwin's pretty clear of Isaac, And that obviously depends on your interpretation of Darwin's minutes. Maybe I have him wrong, but I think both of them have pretty aggressive decay, to be honest. And I think it's fair to sort of place that sort of level of decay on those two players. But obviously, because of Gaming 34 being something that I have to navigate myself, yeah, Darwin takes a lot of priority over me compared to Isaac, who of course is a lot better this week. So I'll be going Isaac in the FPL challenge. But not an FPL for sure.
Nice, nice. So okay, so that's the first fixture. Do you have you thought of any other assets where you feel like okay, the X-Men's on review might not be the fairest, or they are not the most accurate, and you have been changing them every single week, or maybe every single day for the past couple of days?
Recently, maybe I would still say Ait Nouri, but I think one of the things with the I don't think he it's not necessarily a case of Mins, but I think it's a case of he is someone who I think has clear like out of position sort of
Yeah.
potential right now. And his average X Mins are like only 82. And I think he's become like a crucial player for this team. But it could also be very short term, like in the sense that if let's say Hwang comes back, you could very well see Hwang Kun Hasrabia up top in Gaming 34. So, you know, is Ait Nouri that good? I don't know. But yeah, I think you could raise his X-Men's up in the short term. He is just the only option that I've thought about. Someone in the chat has mentioned our thoughts on City Defenders. Actually, Lascelles is probably one that I think I've docked up a bit, I will say. But l not for myself, just for people, just to suggest wildcards for people,
Yeah.
because Lascelles is someone that we expect to play a lot of minutes. Because the last time we saw Botman out, we just practically saw Lascelles play every game with Char. So
Yeah.
I think
And
Lascelles is an amazing pick at 3.9.
absolutely. I was one of those who was thinking that okay, Burn might take away some of his minutes, and that never happened.
Yeah, we thought that
Also,
previously, and I think, you know,
yes.
th this time it's like you've got the chance to sort of learn from not even your mistakes, but just like what we've seen already. And I think
Preparation, right?
Lascelles
Yeah,
played very
exactly.
competently during that
Yes,
run
yes.
of games. And it
Yeah.
seems like I think generally speaking, like from watching how it's like I think it's very clear that he does think that the team defensively is a little bit imbalanced when you play Livramento Trippier. So if there's ever a chance he gets to play Burn Trippier, I think he always prefers that.
Yes.
And also the forward depth is still really poor. So we've seen Livramento play up top. So yeah, I think Lascelles is perfect. He's probably the only player I would say from a defensive position that I would say has weird X-Mins that you could maybe capitalize on. Whether that allows you to, you know, optimize a wild card, I don't know. But he's at 3.9 million. I imagine that he would be thrown into most people's wild cards, particularly if you're planning something like 3 or 34. In the midfield, I think the only maybe we can go the other direction. I think Richarlison obviously has a knee issue, so he's
Yes.
definitely someone that people need to start excluding potentially. Just because I think the way Richarlison would have worked as a punt, as a pick recently at least would have been maybe a little bit of a punt. And also, if let's say you were confident in his performance in Gaming 30, that you'd suddenly start to look at him as an option that you can keep in the short term up until Gaming 34, or of course if you're free at 34, even better, right? But yeah, he's obviously someone that we need to have a look at. Otherwise, I think. Do you want to discuss Sarabia minutes?
Yeah,
Because I,
exactly.
yeah.
I had pulled up Sarabia's minutes on the review right now, and just for anyone who's listening on podcast, his minutes for let's say the next 5 weeks are 83, 80, 79, 78, and 74. And they sort of stay at the plateau around 74 to 70. So I guess with the imminent return of Kuna and Wang, do you see any immediate impact, or do you think we should buff his minutes or nerf his minutes? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I probably think you want to buff his minutes up until like around 34, and then you want to have slightly more aggressive decay
Yeah.
around there. Because
Yeah.
I feel like the well, there's already been two fixtures where they've played Pedro Neto less, and he's played 90 minutes in both games. So I feel like it's almost impossible that he plays anything less than 82 minutes. That's my opinion.
Yeah, makes sense. So something like you would say, maybe 83, 82, 81, 80, and
Yeah,
then
or yeah, I mean,
maybe
you could
go
even
down
go
to
higher if you want,
70.
and then
Yeah.
I would go really aggressive. N not really aggressive, just because, I mean, it's just because obviously when you apply the sort of decay factor naturally, of course, you're gonna have to sort of anticipate, let's say, a pretty big drop. Like, it would probably only be a drop in, let's say, 10 to 15 minutes in real time. But then obviously with the decay around 7, 8 game weeks down the line, I mean, sorry, around maybe 5, 6 game weeks down the line,
Got it.
it would be pretty aggressive. What do you think about Garnacho, actually? I'm curious because for me, Sarabia and Garnacho are very similar picks in the sense that they are the only two picks in the game that allow people to squeeze like a Salah in at a very ridiculous and sort of favorable price point in the midfield position. And one's 4.9 in Garnacho, one's 4.7 Sarabia. You could technically interpret that Garnacho is amazing, like Sarabia. Even at gaming 34. So let's say you want to ignore Sarabia because maybe you're planning more so for gaming 37. And I know I've already run solves. I run maybe a little bit of like a 0.6 EV loss up until the end of the season if I go Garnacho over Sarabia, which I think is actually worthwhile because you also have to take into account that Garnacho is probably going to be a little bit more of a popular pick. When I run, for example, solves with higher decay and I take into account my bench boost, Garnacho is obviously a better transfer for me. So where do you sit in terms of like his position within the team? At United, obviously, with Højlund back, and also I guess maybe Diallo also playing well, coming off the bench and things like that.
So first of all, okay, let's start with Diallo. Forget about the Liverpool game because that's a one-off and it's a cup game. But and I know a lot of people will be influenced by that because it is one, like a recent event. But if you look at the overall season, Diallo has been nowhere close to competing for any of the starting positions. If anything, I would say that there would be a case where Antony could start one of the games because he has always been Ten Hag's sort of favorite right wing player to play until Ten Hag stumbled onto Garnacho on right wing. Let's be honest, it's a very serendipitous turn of events that has led to Garnacho being a right winger, and he's been so good there. But
I think
one
it's
thing,
another thing too is how bad Rashford was in, because technically Garnacho was almost replacing Rashford until a point where he was also replacing Antony.
you're absolutely right. So that's what I was coming to, which is that the problem with, let's say, reducing Garnacho's minutes is, let's say you are confident that Antony takes up the right wing spot in one of the games. It could easily happen that Højlund misses out Rashford up front, Garnacho on the left. If Rashford misses out Garnacho on the left, Højlund up top. So I just think that this season, especially Garnacho's minutes out of all the attackers, have to be the highest from United squad. So if anything, so I'm looking at his minutes right now on review, and they're 85, 82, 80, 78 for the next 4 weeks.
I think they look fair.
I would maybe even increase them a minute or two.
He has been early subbed a little bit more though, right? Because
Yeah,
of
he has
Anthony.
been, but that's what I'm saying. So even if you look at his early subs, I don't think they have been like, let's say, 75 or earlier than that.
No, always
All,
80
yeah,
plus,
80 plus. So all I'm trying to say is, even if he's going to be subbed, there is no chance it's an early sub, like a 60, 65 minutes up. Also because I just think that Ten Hag doesn't believe it.
Oh, I think we might have lost good old Shadon Fortis there. What do you guys think Ten Hag doesn't believe in?
Yeah,
Nah,
sorry.
that's all right. We've got you
Yeah, I'm
back.
back.
I was just gonna start guessing. But yeah, go on.
No. Oh, okay. It stopped there.
Oh,
That's
man.
very interesting. So I was gonna say
Okay,
that. So my,
I think we're losing you again.
I think I'm gonna stop talking for a couple of minutes. Discuss something
Nah, that's
while
all
I go
right.
out for a few
I'm in
extra.
agreement with you on Garnacho, which is also why I think for me, as someone who probably has to squeeze in a Garnacho or Sarabia type player very, very shortly within, my transfers and also to navigate the sort of 37 landscape. Ultimately, I still really like Garnacho as a pick. I think he's just going to be perfect. So for me, it's just a bit of a toss up. Like, do you prefer some of the short term value that you're going to get from Sarabia, who has some short term fixtures like a West Ham at home, a Burnley away, even for example, Luton at home in gaming 35, which obviously is a post Hwang coming back landscape, but of course he could very well still be a part of that sort of upfront trident with Wolves. Keep in mind that Bellegarde, of course, can take minutes away from Sarabia, and that would be probably the only impact, right? Whereas obviously with Garnacho, it's like basically after gaming, I mean, including gaming 34, you've just got a perfect run of games with this young guy, and I think he's probably going to play up until the end of the season, so no worries there. Those are my thoughts in
I think
terms of
penalties, right? Penalties is
penalties, yeah.
perhaps the one thing
That's it. That is a
where,
huge thing, and I think
yeah.
it's. Do you know? Do you happen to know the split of pen share between Sarabia and other potential contenders within this Wolves team?
Oh, so now that Wang is out, I suspect it is almost like close to one for Sarabia,
Yeah, but
from what you're saying.
the only thing I'd say, so I remember Sarabia took a penalty versus you guys actually, when United won 4-3, and Sarabia took a penalty whilst Kunha was on the pitch. But also keep in mind that Kunha took a penalty when he was playing versus Chelsea. So
Yeah, and Sarabia was sort of out of favor in that time frame, so we don't even know what
yeah, exactly. I
the
think
rationale is.
if I mean that was the game where Wolves obviously won 4-2,
Yeah.
which was massive. Like so, and also I think Kunha was going to get his hat trick, and I
Hat
think
trick.
Sarabia was off the pitch. So
Yeah.
that is an interesting thing in terms of also sometimes I think the penalty order can change though as well, like depending on who's in priority, I guess, and if Kunha is a 90-minute player, there are instances where obviously there would be some pen share for Kunha no matter what. But Sarabia, seeing as he's probably going to get good minutes, you know, in the short term, I think it's tough to sort of believe that Sarabia is off of penalties. I'd probably say it's 90-10, something like that. Unless, you know, Gary O'Neill has sort of okayed, or let's say Kunha draws a penalty and he really wants to take it, maybe Sarabia defers, which I think is possible. These kind of situations do happen. But I think I imagine review probably has it very close to Sarabia, 100%. And they both run very similarly as picks. So I think going towards the end of the season, you're seeing both Garnacho and Sarabia have very close sort of expected sort of projections in terms of points. And the only sort of defining factors, of course, is that Sarabia has two really tough fixtures at the end of the season, which is going to be City and Liverpool. So it kind of speaks to, once again, Sarabia better short term, maybe Garnacho a little bit better medium to long term. So I think if someone who's pl planning for a little bit long term, I think you do kind of have to go Garnacho. And for some people as well who are very tight on budget, you probably have to go for both. Because if you want to, let's say, go for a more expensive forward like a Darwin, then it would make sense to go for both options. But that also probably means between, you know, Salah, Son, Palmer, Saka, you're losing one of those players as well. So there's a bit of a trade-off right now that a lot of managers have to think about from that point of view. And it's not just six mins, it's just structurally also what you want to do, like how you want to play out Gaming 34, how you want to play out Gaming 37, things like that.
Yeah, because I'm on free 34, I think I'm definitely going for Garnacho. When I'm going for Garnacho is a different issue because, as you pointed
Interesting,
out, these
yeah.
fixtures are great
But
from
you
now
missed
till the
the
end of the
Sheffield
season.
fixture, so you can wait, basically.
Exactly, exactly. So Burnley is, I think, gaming 35, if I'm not wrong. So that could be the fixture where I get him. But I think it all depends, as you said, on which midfielder I want to lose and how I'll change my midfield because. I need to carry either Saka or Salah into the bench boost. I think that's almost inevitable for my team. So I'm not going to have 15 double game weekers. I will have some single game weekers in my team, and I have to decide which one of those I need to carry. So that will determine, I think, when I
Do,
get
I mean,
Garnacho.
do you think wildcard 35ers are going to go Saka and Salahless? Probably not, right?
Yes, right. I mean, how would you, or are you saying that they would use free transfers later on? Because that seems a very not robust plan, if for a lack of better word.
As in, let's say if you were wildcard in 35, you'd rather just have the full arsenal of 15
Yeah.
doublers, yeah.
Yeah. You roll in 36, and then if you, depending on what your initial team is, maybe you deal with any injuries if there are, or if there are not, you just carry two transfers into 38.
That's fair, yeah.
Just yeah, I just think
I
that
guess
is what
yeah,
most
ultimately you've got enough
players.
picks between like Jackson, Isak, Fernandes,
Yeah.
Madison that can
Yeah.
carry you through until the end of the season, and that's totally fine. Yeah, I think that's
Richarlison, I
fine.
think. You more than Madison, I think Richarlison is going to be one of those who,
Yeah.
yeah,
I
he's
mean
going to
I
be
think
needed on.
but do you not think Richarlison just in general might have slightly overestimated X Mins, like do we really think that he's going to be a consistent starter even if he's back fit? Like I'm not so sure if that's the case.
Are you saying because looks like the forward positions except Son right now seem dispensable?
Yeah. I think I'm of that camp. I know a lot of people do like traditional center forward because obviously it seems like the team plays better at times, right? So it's like there are games where you see Son center forward and it just feels like nothing's being played through him. His hold up play is probably not at the same level of Richarlison. Same with, for example, the way Richarlison drops deep to sort of, claw a loose ball, things like that. I get that. But it feels like we have seen enough games where, Richarlison hasn't played. Obviously, that could be also related to the knock. But I'm not that confident in Richarlison's minutes going towards the end of the season. And I'm someone who has owned Richarlison as well for quite a lot of moments within the season. I think pre-Werner, I would say, or
Yeah,
pre-Werner being established.
maybe I'm being maybe I'm overestimating his minutes because I was underestimating them the last time around. So that might be playing a part in my perception of how his minutes are going to be moving forward, because I think you make a good case where Brennan Johnson and Kulusevski and Werner between them have enough of a case to take away, let's say, a not insignificant amount of minutes away from Richarlison. So you might be right, and that would mean that perhaps Maddison is could be end up being the better asset. Although with Maddison, I don't know why. I'm assuming he was subbed early
Because they
because
play
he was
poorly.
still sort of injured.
Yeah, I think a bit of both for sure, right? One of those
Yeah.
instances where you're probably not getting back into the game. You just take him off because why risk it? I don't see Maddison's minutes dropping too much. But I also think that, over the course of the season, like, he's not a 95-minute player, so no point treating him as such. But yeah, I can still see him probably playing 80, 82 minutes again. Something
I
like
think
that.
one more short discussion before we move on to your plans for next week or this week.
Yep.
So, Kiwior, right? A lot of people are looking at maybe getting him
Oh,
instead
interesting.
of, let's say, another Arsenal defender because of, I don't know, budget issues or something,
Right.
or the fact that he's played a lot of games recently. So how do you rate, let's say, Zinchenko's impact? Because he has been on the bench for a couple of games for Arsenal, so he has been fit, right? But
Yeah.
also we don't know if he has been fully fit or if he was benched just for as a precaution. So where do you see this going in terms of Kiwior's minutes expense?
I mean, I think Arsenal played brilliantly with Kiwior, so that's probably something that comes into it. But I think
Yes.
we've also seen the Kiwior-Zinchenko substitution in both the games that I remember recently. So, for example, the Porto game, as well as the Brentford game. So the only concern that I have is I think it's a little bit too short-sighted to just go Kiwior. Yeah, I think Zinchenko, there will be a game, and we've seen it happen a couple times this season, right? Let's say if someone's playing poorly, maybe Kiwior plays slightly poorly. If you've got Zinchenko on the bench, even I think Tomiyasu is, he might be back. So that's gonna make me very fearful of Kiwior's minutes. So I wouldn't touch that at all.
Yeah, fair
And
enough.
the whole point of, owning an Arsenal pick really is that you just know that they have a lot of permanence and that you don't want to touch them. I get the whole point about saving money, but it's one of those teams where you probably don't want to cut around the edges with or cut around corners with. So yeah, I haven't thought about it at all.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. I just don't think he's a viable asset this season.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I
We
think
can
that's
move on
it for Expense
to
Corner.
your
Yeah,
plans.
we can just discuss my plans. So interesting, obviously these are generic plans for me. The first line of plans, and for podcast listeners is I only have one free transfer because I've come from free at 29, therefore obviously only one free transfer at gaming 30. And the first set of plans are my options if I was to, let's say, exclude certain players and after the expense adjustments that I've personally made. So it's in gaming 30 to go from Senesi to Gusto, and then Doughty to Pedro Porro, and then in gaming 31 to do Fernandes to Salah, Watkins to Cunha, or alternatively, a path where this, is basically in seeking Darwin, really. Senesi to Gusto, Fernandes to Salah, on gaming 31, and so therefore not doing the Doughty to Pedro Porro -4 in gaming 30 in this transfer here, but instead doing a -8 for Darwin because I can't afford Salah and Darwin outright. I have to take out Pedro Neto as well, who has haunted my team for a few weeks now and needs to go for Sarabia or, maybe alternatively Garnacho if I choose to make that choice. So Salah, Sarabia, Darwin in for Fernandes, Neto, and Watkins on a -8 for gaming 31. The only alternative would be, let's say, I think there is a concern around Darwin and his minutes, and we'll talk about that in a second. And so the third sort of transfer route that I have is Senesi to Virgil. So that would sort of lock me into, I think, a very safe Liverpool defender. That's what we can say. So the alternative to Bradley, of course, where you're looking at maybe dicey minutes in the short to medium term, and someone who's obviously got a lot more permanence in Virgil. And then the same sort of minus eight, but this time for Cunha. So Fernandes to Salah, Neto to Sarabia, and Watkins to Cunha, because unfortunately Virgil is a lot more expensive than, you know, your Gustos and Bradleys of the world. So generally speaking, I think that what I have to be dealing with as someone who's navigating, you know, with chipless really up until bench boost 37 is I have to answer the question of, you know, whether I really take into account the value of, let's say, Darwin, and maybe also just the generic idea of going for someone who's a little bit cheaper, like Gusto, or even a Bradley, who I think a lot of people might be looking at alternatively at the same price, and then thinking about, you know, what the upside is for going for Darwin over Cunha. Because unfortunately, I think with the way the fixtures have fallen, you are really gearing towards someone who's playing Gaming 34. Now, previously, we thought that that could be João Pedro, but that's closed off now. So it's really between Darwin and Cunha for me. And going back to our discussion about penalties, I don't think Cunha is the penalty taker. And I also think Sarabia is going to be playing a lot of the minutes where, you know, Cunha would be waiting to take penalties, you know, after he comes off. So because of those impacts, I think there is a lot of upside with Darwin too, because one thing that we can say about review is that I think it feels like there has been a small pricing in of the yellow card situation with Darwin. You can talk about that in a moment, but then there's also the impact of, you know, Jota is coming back, and potentially for Game Week 34, Darwin might not be as great a pick as we would have thought. Because there are, of course, instances where I think when we watch Liverpool and we like, you know, what Liverpool has provided, there are still many instances where Gakpo inevitably actually plays a lot of the games that we probably don't expect him to play, despite us thinking Darwin's clearly first choice, and he is. But when you look at a game like Arsenal, for example, when Liverpool absolutely needed to win that game, or do their best in it, you know, Darwin was benched there, and there was also the small sort of knock situation as well, that I might preface, but that always seems to be something that Darwin is facing this season anyways, right? He's always been in and around knocks basically. So that's the context right now. A lot of transfers to think about, and it really pertains to the same players that we've discussed, and it involves a lot of hits as well, which I think is fine because a lot of people took hits, you know, when I was wildcarding in around those weeks. I also have two injuries that unfortunately the rest of the field doesn't, and I just have to navigate them with hits. So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts in terms of the transfers that I'm sort of g generally showing?
I think the transfers you have planned are quite robust. Also, because you're targeting essentially game weeks after 35 for the real EV to come into the picture. Obviously, with Poro, we've discussed this off air, but for anyone wondering what Poro's expected value is this week, it's only
It's
lower
insane.
than
It's
four
insane.
strikers and four midfielders
Yeah.
in
And
the
this doesn't
entire
happen
game.
often. Even when Arsenal have a ludicrously good
Yes.
game, you do not see an Arsenal defender at a similar sort of expected value as one of the best attackers within the week. So the fact that so
It's
Porro, for context, has the same EV, I think, as Solanke, which is quite mad.
1.1 more than Solanke, even though Solanke is on 91 minutes. So that just shows you how good of an option Poro is this week. And coming back to Darwin's point, for anyone wondering or not in the know, Darwin is on 8 yellow cards, so he has to not get booked twice in the next 4 games. Otherwise, he is suspended for 2 games after his 10th yellow card. So that's the only reason why the decay in his XMins is sort of weird, where till he completes 32 games, it's a little aggressive, and then after 32 games, no one cares.
Yeah, it's pretty flat,
Because
isn't it? Yeah.
exactly. So I again, this is maybe this is not how should I say, it's not quantifiable as a doubt. Like, I can't point to a certain event and say, okay, look, this event makes me doubt it. But I just feel like the number of options that Liverpool has always makes me a little skeptical on how many minutes Darwin is going to get. I don't think there's any doubt that he is going to start. I just always think that because of the number of options they have, how early of a sub could he be is the question that always comes to my mind. Because look, if you want the full expected value out of Darwin, you need him to play as many minutes as he can against Sheffield United. That is the majority of his EV gain that you will get. And of course, there are weeks around that and the double game week itself. But if you, like, for example, I'm speaking about Sheffield United because that's when Fran is looking at bringing him in if he
Yeah,
does.
precisely.
So I guess one of the conditions on Fran bringing him in is that he should not get booked against Brighton, right? Because if he does not get booked against Brighton, he needs to be yellow carded twice in 3 games, and yellow carded twice in separate games. So the red card will not, just nullify whatever yellow cards he accrues. So I guess that would pretty much lock him in, right? Or would make him that much more likely to be a transfer in for your team.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. Obviously, pretty short turnaround too. So Sunday, Thursday, Sunday are the games that Liverpool will play. So especially since that United game seems pretty big, I will say it is a bit concerning to me thinking about, how good really is Darwin's minutes going to be versus Sheffield United. So I think you raise a good point there. And so obviously when you look at a lot of my transfer options, it's like either I go quite aggressively for Darwin, expecting to gain a lot from that Sheffield United fixture, or I can get something that feels a little bit more safe through Cunha. And I think, Cunha's minutes are going to be very good. So are Porro's minutes as well, right? So for example, when you look at both the transfer pass, towards the left-hand side, which is that sort of Gusto plus Porro -4 hit for this week, just because unfortunately I have Senesi, and I don't really want to play Gabriel if I don't have to, versus Man City this week. It does seem to make sense that maybe I can just trust in the short-term value of what would be, Cunha's minutes, and then also Pedro Porro, who would be really, really good for me on game week 37. So that's something that I probably need to think about. And so sometimes I think, and you remind me as well, like when I did the move Watkins to Darwin, when Watkins had a small little injury doubt, if you remember, that was also targeting Sheffield United, but the reverse
Yes.
fixture was the away fixture, and Darwin didn't start. And I think a lot of us did not get the chance to take a victory lap for doing that transfer because it looked very stupid in hindsight. And yeah, I'm sort of reminded of that situation. I feel like this is very well could happen again. Now, it could very well happen that maybe Salah has reduced minutes, but I think I'm much more confident in Salah just getting minutes because he's always been a bit more of an Iron Man than Darwin has, at least within their Liverpool career so far. So yeah, I definitely think I might lean towards that Pedro Porro hit, and that's mainly because that Pedro Porro transfer just feels so good for this week, and my defense looks so bad, to say the
So
least.
before we move on to captaincy, I'm just going to briefly mention what I have targeted. So I have 2 free transfers, unlike Fran,
Yeah.
and my moves are going to be Bowen to Salah and Barkley to Palmer, because I decided to transfer out the probably one of the best FPL assets we've had in years for Ross
Ross
Barkley,
Barkley, yeah.
which is not that grim because he did score a goal, but now I have to reverse it all over again.
And you got those
And
appearance points, right? Free at 29. No,
I
I'm kidding.
mean,
Not free at 29, but
even with that free 29, not that free 29, the game with 29 points, he still ended up with a lower score than Palmer in 28, right?
yeah, no, I know. So that's tough. I think it reminds me of
I mean,
when I went for Tony over Solanke, maybe on my wild card, and sometimes it's
But
like
did you get an extra game? So I'm saying that
no, I
Barkley
didn't get an
three
extra
games.
game, no. But I mean,
Yeah,
technically, if
Barkley,
you
yeah.
consider, let's say, a game versus Man City to be a blank,
Oh, yeah, fair.
arguably,
Okay.
yeah. No, I'm kidding,
Okay,
but
because, yeah. 3 games of Barkley are not even, are less than 1 game of Palmer. Now I've learned my lesson now, yeah.
of course not. That's just a joke. Because obviously, I think the reality in FPL 2 is that, yeah, I think playing with analytics, you get a little bit more feel for what are the game weeks where I can sort of bypass an amazing player like a Palmer, or set up a plan to get Salah from Bowen, right? Like that's an amazing transfer, and I think in hindsight it looks really good now, the position you're in. You've got free at 34 in your back pocket, maybe a later free hit if you really want to do so, and yeah, I mean you've come out pretty strongly, and you have Salah and Palmer, and you don't even have to take a hit this week. So what's your defense this week? I'm just curious,
Yeah, it's really
prospectively.
bad.
Yeah, okay.
I was hoping,
That's
yeah, I was
fine.
hoping you would
I was trying to make myself feel a
yeah.
little bit better. Yeah.
It's Zabarni, Gabriel, and Udogie.
Okay. Which is still pretty good. Still probably better than mine right now. So yeah.
Not with the -4. I think with the -4 you have one of the best defenses this week, I think.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And we'll see obviously if I do the -4. So let's do captaincy. Or actually, no, I think what we were going to do actually was going we were going to look at briefly a wild card solve on review. This is for Gaming 30. Was there any sort of chip plans roughly, or was it just a generic wild card?
Yeah, it's a wildcard 30 with no free hit and no bench boost. So the only reason for running this wildcard honestly was for a different fantasy game. I just wanted to look at what options pop out in a wildcard. And the only reason we are sort of showing this here is just for people who perhaps don't or have wildcarded but want to sort of get an idea of different chip strategy, what would lead them, what the wildcard would lead them to, sort of. And I don't know. I mean, if you look at the choices, I still think that they are comparable to, let's say, could you convert this into bench boost 37 down the line with enough free transfers?
I'll say yes, but
Because I
it's
think Raya and Petrovic are is the favored
perfect. Yeah.
goalkeeper
I
combination,
think you
right?
would go Raya Petrovic no matter what chip strategy you're going for. So I think that's very robust. But I think clearly here, obviously, you've got a little bit more of a preference for Gaming 34 doublers, and that's fine, right? Because you're trying to maximize in the short-term value, and you're competing with the free hitters as well. And you're probably going to have to still take some hits to get towards Gaming 37 and bench boost there if you really wanted to off of this. But I think maybe if you, let's say, ran with bench boost 37 on review, I would probably expect that some of your defenders would be a little bit 37 orientated. Maybe an additional Chelsea defender potentially. Just because, for example, if you look here, you've got Mikhailenko, Virgil, and Tarkowski as well. So like three, or Gabriel as well. So four
Yes.
Gaming 34 doublers, which I think would probably
Overloading
lean,
34, I think, and
a little bit. You'd probably
yeah,
lean the other
I
direction. Although I like Garnacho a lot. And it shows you once again what I was talking about between Sarabia and Garnacho, right? Because here you're not even going for like a 3 at 34, but Garnacho seems to be potentially superior over Sarabia, but actually you have both. So it shows you how strong those two picks are and that they're the glue to a lot of drafts like this, just because they're so cheap. And what you probably have in exchange of that is that you just have a slightly stronger front line. As opposed to having Sun within this draft, which I think is fair. You'd probably transfer in Sun in later down the line, I imagine, maybe even through Salah potentially. I imagine for let's say bench boost 37, something like that.
Yes. Yeah, that's fair. So I'm just going to read it out for anyone who's on listening on
Oh,
podcast. So it's
absolutely.
Petrovic, Raya in goal, Porro, Virgil, Mikolenko, Tarkowski, and Gabriel in defense. Son, Salah, Palmer, Garnacho, Sarabia in midfield. Haaland, Darwin, and Solanke. So I guess I would make maybe three changes if you were to bench boost in 37, as Fran already discussed a couple of changes in defense. And I would change the forward line. I would go for maybe Isaac over Darwin. Although that's sort of debatable if you want to take full advantage of the double game week 34. I think you could very well
I
start with
think yeah, you
Darwin
have
over
to
there.
book that transfer almost
Yeah,
because they're the same price. You take
fair.
that 34 first, I think.
Fair. Yeah, fair. And as I discussed, and as I mentioned earlier, Isaac, we don't even know what the fitness situation is going to be when 37
That's
comes
true.
around. So it also insulates you from making that decision right now.
Yeah, hear you there.
I think we
Cool.
can move on to captaincy, right?
Yeah, I think also just to touch on this as well, like I think this is a good sort of illustrative draft of if someone, let's say, is just generally planning their transfers and their chip list, for the season with the exception to bench boost, like what a sort of team you'd be looking at right now. And I think the picks that you're sort of looking at now are these picks like Pedro Porro, who will double in 37, despite having tough fixtures, quote unquote. Picks like, let's say, your Sarabias and Garnacho feel like really safe transfers because once again there's just no other FPL players at that sort of price point that provide that value. Once again, Arsenal triple, I mean actually a double up of Arsenal, sorry, no Saka in this draft. I imagine, is there a books transfer for Saka? Just curious.
Yeah, there is. There
Yeah,
is.
maybe from Son, actually, maybe in the short
On to
term.
Saka next week. Yeah, on to Saka next week.
Yeah, which I think is also partly because Richarlison's not here, right? I've seen some drafts where if let's say Richarlison was an actual pick of consideration, you'd probably have Richarlison to Saka as a book transfer, and you'd probably want to keep Son. But I think going out of Son makes a lot of sense because ultimately you have to do so in Gaming 34 as someone who doesn't have a chip. So That's what I'd probably say. And then Darwin Solanke, you can see the preference for, once again, 34 doublers. And I feel like one thing that we have to look at too is, particularly if you're bench boosting on 37, is generally the way you manage your transfers is you probably gear a little bit more towards gaming 34 than most. And then you just book those transfers in for whatever hits you need to do to get a good gaming 37 bench boost squad out. And if it takes you a minus eight, so be it, because ultimately you're probably going to get more value from that with your bench. Because there are just that many amount of doubles, and there's a lot of good players still who you'd have singling. So, for example, if you keep selling your team, still going to be a very good pick up until the end of the season. That's pretty much it. But let's move on to captaincy. So the captaincy options in sort of order, I think, even if you have like maximized minutes for all players, Son first, then Salah, then Palmer. In terms of fixture, I think you'd say Son's fixture is the best, then Palmer's. But Salah is Salah, of course, and we always have to say that. And I think Son and Salah truly run a lot closer to each other than, let's say, Palmer's. Palmer's quite far and away the third piece in this sort of captaincy order here. Do you have any thoughts in terms of why Palmer might not be as close to a Son and Salah? Because I think Palmer's, when people look at points, obviously, and the holes that Palmer has gotten, they'd probably think he's up there already, right? Like performing at that sort of level. Even his underlying stats, are very, very good. Not Salah-like, per se, but he's a penalty taker, of course. And maybe, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
I just think that, okay, so first of all, because all three of them play at home, we can't even claim
Yep.
that there's an away tax.
True.
I just think it's one of the reasons is a lack of historical underlings, and that will
Got
always
you.
play a part.
Yeah.
You can never separate that element from analytics or if you want to play with data projections, because Son and Salah have so many seasons of Premier League history in terms of underlings, that Palmer will need to register, let's say, a couple of seasons of good underlings, and he, no doubt, he's on his way. I think there's value to you picking up early on an asset like that, right? For example, people that got him on a wild card, a gaming 10 wild card, and never sold him after that point, clearly benefited from that, because I think a majority of the public took a long time to get on to Palmer as, let's say, a nailed asset who they will
Yeah,
play week in, week out.
or a pen merchant, eh?
Yes, exactly. And someone like you, who's captained him multiple times going against the crowd as well, is exactly something which also reassures you that, okay, when it is actually as close as review suggests it is, you can really take a chance. And that's why it's important to point out that this is not one of those weeks. Son and Salah are actually clear in terms of captaincy from an EV perspective. I think I will be captaining Son. I think you will be as well if you, I mean, you don't plan on buying Salah this week from what I've seen. So both of us will be captaining Son, I guess.
Yeah, I'm captaining Son. I think it's a lot closer on review than market. So I as far as I understand, it's pretty close. But then also I think there might be a late adjustment because of the Richarlison news, right? If that means more minutes at center forward for Son, that probably tilts Son a little bit more in favor of Salah once again. And ultimately, I just think, we've been watching Luton this season, and their attack has improved, but their defense has gotten worse and worse. And they also have just a
Number of
ridiculously
injuries, yeah.
long injury list. It is all sort of going in favor of Son, unless you, let's say, watch Lewis Dunk in the international performances
Oh,
and think, no,
yeah,
I'm just joking. I'm
yo.
just joking. I won't go there. But yeah, I think it's for me, it feels like it's pretty clearly on Son. And once you have a gap that big as well on review and market, I just feel like it's so hard to go against that. Particularly when all the sort of grass type reasons still lie in favor with Son, right? I've
Oh,
targeted
just a
Luton
fair
plenty of times this
warning.
season too.
Yeah, just a fair warning to anyone listening.
Yeah.
I've captained Son 3 times this season against
Yeah.
Sheffield United,
Yeah.
Luton, and I forgot who, Fulham, of course, last week.
Yeah.
And he scored 2, 3, and 2 points respectively.
That's fair.
So, just a fair warning. Don't come to me if he blanks again, which seems inevitable at this point.
Yeah.
Should we take the chat questions?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we can start from the top. So, Priyansh
Priyan
is
said,
going for
yeah.
bench boost 31. He's one of the few managers that I think obviously he went free at 29. He's got a little bit more Liverpool than most. So one of the few lucky managers who could probably consider an alternative to Bench Boost 37, let's be honest. So I would say that's awesome. So I hope that pays off, and I'm keen to see how that sort of pans out for you if you do so.
Pablo says thoughts on City's defense and Bradley's experience. We've discussed
Yeah,
Bradley
I think Bradley's actually quite
extensively.
interesting, right? I mean, at the end of the day, but
City's defense, look, long and short is I've banned all City defenders on my solves because almost all of them are back fit. I know Stones got injured, but and
right.
Walker is also out. But I just don't trust City defense, especially when Champions League is in, let's say, in the high stakes stage of the tournament. I just don't trust any of their minutes.
That's
If
fair.
Walker were fit, I think there's a conversation to be had with Walker, but other than that, I'm steering clear.
Yeah. Whilst you guys are all here in the chat, and 35 of you are, which I think is a record high for us. So thank you guys so much for joining.
Yeah,
Do feel
thanks.
free to like, subscribe, and obviously continue to drop comments. We'll continue to answer questions. David's question is, good morning from New Zealand. So thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Must be is it is it is it must be pretty early in the morning now. Or it might be very late. But I have no chips left, unfortunately, he says. Can you please help with five or six players to get for the remainder of the season, given your situation? Yeah, absolutely. I think once again we talked about it. Garnacho's a good pick. I think Gusto is risky, but I think potentially a good pick longer term. In the short term, though, once again, Sarabia, I think, is a very good glue player just because he should allow you to get your Salahs and potentially Darwin's slash Kunhas of the world. So those are good picks. And obviously, I think if you sort of listen back to my discussion about my own transfers, I think that gives you a little bit of a flavor for, someone else who's navigating very similarly to you on that sort of path. So I think hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah. Muhin says bench Alex Moreno or Burn this week. I think Moreno, right? Because we don't even know if he's going to start for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it is a very nice fixture.
It is.
But
It
I,
is.
yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's pretty
Yeah.
close. Burn can always jam some points, right? I think, and Burn will start. So,
Yes,
yeah, I would
yes.
probably go with Burn, to be fair.
You want to take the next one?
Yep, Eddie Casey says, hi, friend. Who to bench, Saka or Foden to play Garnacho? I do think you should bench Saka, personally, right? Worst fixture on paper here. He's the away player. Small sort of doubt in terms of his availability, which I don't think is true at all. I think even if you, looked at all of these players as 95-minute players, and maybe let's say even let's say your Garnacho, who would only play 80 minutes, I still think Saka's worth benching because he's probably going to be the highest owned pick, and he has the least sort of, see, I mean he has the lowest ceiling, I would say, out of all of these players, and I would take that chance to sort of get some risk, free risk.
Yeah, Priyank says Richarlison's experience are optimistic on the review. It's unlikely Ange will move Son out to left wing again. Yeah,
Yeah, I
fair.
kind
I
of generally
think
agree.
that's what.
That's
Yeah,
my
yeah.
position of it. I think we'll see games where obviously you're going to see, Richarlison 10, 15 minutes, and who knows, it might last a game or two. But even early in the season, we saw, Son basically move back into center forward and Richarlison deputize a bit more, right? So I'm failing to believe that Richarlison's suddenly just going to hog crazy center forward minutes and even start every single game. I think it's ludicrous, in fact. But yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Omar M says, you think Neto is going to keep starting for Bournemouth?
Tough one there. I don't know. I mean, it really just depends on his performances, right? We just have to keep
He is
watching.
the club captain, right? So
He
I
is.
just think it's that much more difficult when you are the club
Yeah.
captain. Although we've seen the way Mourinho treated Iker Casillas, so I don't know. I mean, this
But apparently Casillas was a
is.
mole,
Yeah.
which was proven to be true, by the way. But
Oh, okay. So he was pulling a Dean Henderson then. That's okay. That's.
No, but on a serious note, I will say the thing with Neto, I would is that I wouldn't plan around Neto losing his spot. I think with these situations, particularly with the goalkeepers, right? Like at the end of the day, if you don't have a keeper, it's always going to be worth that minus four to take him out. So, just deal with that eventuality when it comes. Don't even think about it. It's not really worth your
Yeah,
time.
react to it.
Yeah,
Perfect,
yeah.
perfectly put. Yeah. Priyan says, yeah, he might be a ban. I'm assuming he's talking about Richarlison and
Yeah,
not
I think that's fine. Yeah.
Neto. But yeah, I mean, Neto should also be a ban.
I think
And
Ederson, do you think
also,
he's back this week? I mean, it doesn't really matter
yeah,
whether
he
he's back
trained.
this week, right? He trained, yeah,
He
okay.
trained. Yeah,
Because I
yeah,
know he was in Portugal on vacation with his wife or partner. But
yeah. Yeah.
yeah, I mean, look, I think the reality with Ederson is that he's probably going to start all the games, even after this Arsenal game, if he really can't make it for this one, which he probably will. And ultimately, you don't really want to start Richarlison, sorry, Ederson on this fixture anyway. So yeah, I think Ederson's good to go. But actually, he's still expensive, and Petrovic just has more fixtures. So I don't know.
I think Petrovic is a shoe-in
Yeah,
if
I'm
you
a
want to go
Petrovic
elite at
fan.
this
I wouldn't be
point.
thinking about Ederson at all, is basically my point. Fatality, is that named after the legendary FPS player? Evening All says, Odegaard to Salah and Watkins to Mateta for -4, worth it or roll? I think it's worth it actually, because Odegaard, this is not a good fixture for him. I don't love the Mateta fixture. It is Nottingham Forest away, I believe, but ultimately you lose Watkins, but you probably gain Salah, which I think could be worth it over the next 2 weeks.
I think we've discussed, although with Mateta, that we don't even know if he's going to
He's
start both
consistently
games in
starting,
Game
yeah.
Week 24, right?
That's a good
So,
point. I mean, I'd probably prefer Akunha, obviously, if you had to go there. But the thing is, you don't even know Akunha starts this week. So you probably want to
that
wait
is okay.
for an update from Gary O'Neill if you can go Akunha. If you can go Muniz, I actually might prefer him over Mateta.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fair
I think
enough.
that's sort of my position. But generally, I think if you can go Salah, and just because Odegaard's not a great pick this week, I know you lose Watkins, but I think the flip side of the coin, yeah, this is a really bad Odegaard fixture. So it's like I would be gaining a lot more than Salah anyways through this, and obviously the captaincy next week too, priced in. So I think it is worth a genuine transfer.
The next one, probably you might have to think it through
That's fine,
because.
yeah. Two free transfers, K9 says, Bailey to Salah and roll second free transfer game week 31, Watkins to Haaland and Madison to Garnacho, or game week 31, Senesi Gusto plus Bailey to Salah. I think bring Haaland 32. I personally think that you can wait till game week 33 to bring Haaland in, right? Game week 32 is not, well, actually game week 31 is still Aston Villa, and the game week 32 is still a slightly roughish fixture for Haaland. 33 is definitely the big one. I think
Yeah,
you can wait till
Luton, right?
32. Yeah, I mean, I don't really know the state of your defense, but I think if Gusto is one of your
He says his
considerations.
defense is 2 into Arsenal plus Doughty plus NSE plus Reguilon.
Oh, absolutely. I would spend those two free transfers, because you just don't have a competent third defender, just like myself. So I would take that chance easily. Yeah. Marcus says, so that's his whole team. I won't read out the whole team, but
Of course.
would I start Doughty? No, honestly, I'd probably take a hit and not start him.
No. This
Yeah.
EV is so trash.
Generally worth the
It's
hit in these situations. Like
oof.
it's you do not want to be playing Doughty, I would say. Probably
Yeah,
not.
less than 2 EV when you're like an 80-minute player and supposed to be one of the most attacking left backs
Yeah, in the
in the
prem.
league. Wow, that's
Yeah, what is it? 1.4? Not looking good, huh?
1.8, I think. 1.8, I checked.
Fair, fair.
Yeah.
1.6
I think.
actually, yeah. My
Do we
God.
have any other more chats? I think yeah, that's
I think that's it.
yeah. I know
So
we said it's going to be a shorter one, but we still ended up streaming for an hour. I think we
we just
have
love
gotten
streaming.
habituated to yeah. We've just gotten habituated to talking about
Yeah.
FPL, so
I think th this is a nice week because, you know, th this is the week that is sort of the bedrock of your future transfers for the next 2, 3 weeks. So we might actually miss out an episode in the future, but at
I was
least
going to say
we've
so
discussed most of the transfers in the short term.
we
Yeah.
won't be streaming in 31 for sure, I think.
Right. Yeah.
What we've discussed. So we'll be back in 32, which means that you can treat this as a 30-minute pod this week and 30-minute pod next week
Yeah.
if you choose to do so.
I think generally too, like a lot of people's Game Week 31 transfers, it's like you either miss the boat on Salah this week and you're just going for Salah anyways later on. Or for example, you actually want a little bit more information on your Darwins and your Kunhas of the world, and therefore you're waiting for 31 for the same reason, right? Or a different reason, but you're making the same transfers. So yeah, I think ultimately 30, 31 transfers are very similar. And then 32, 33 will be back to tell you, you know, which Everton defender to pick. Which I think is as interesting as it gets, really. But yeah, so that's FPL for this week for Gaming 30. So thank you guys so much for joining the Game Week 30 preview. Once again, do feel free to like and subscribe. It really does help grow the channel. For people listening on podcasts, do feel free to give a 5-star rating. I hope you guys have a wonderful game week going ahead. Take care and goodbye.
Have a good one, guys. Bye.